Oh, if you don't have the sermon notes, get the sermon notes. If you read the sermon notes, the sermon is basically in the sermon notes, so then you can just go, I guess, if you want. But hope you stay. So I'm normally always nervous when I get up here, but I'm particularly nervous today because the last time I gave a sermon on Scripture and like what it is and the importance and all that, I received more complaints than I've ever received for a sermon in my life. And it was fair. It was good criticism. I appreciate the criticism I got. But I had seven different people talk to me about that sermon last time. And if you can go online, you can listen to it. And when you hear it, you'll understand why. It's long. It's technical. You know, I'm speaking at 900 miles per hour because I'm trying to fit in, like, a whole year's of information in 10 minutes. But anyway, so I'm kind of nervous about this sermon because it's also about Scripture. It's also about the Bible. And yeah, do you got anyone here doing very well? Anyone have an excellent week? Anyone? Excellent week? Melissa? Yeah? Jackie? Excellent. Everyone else just meh? No? Oh, some people are going, no, that's sad. Nothing negative? Okay. Well, I'm going to begin with a video. If someone could turn the light off before the video starts, just so people can see it. And yeah, so we're just going to open up with a video.
Will make you stronger on the inside.
Good to know.
The Bible is a light to your path. Metaphorically.
Can you mention that a minute ago?
Sword of the Spirit.
I guess I stopped reading after sword.
The Bible works best when read.
Yes. Ah. Right, R18, yeah. Yeah. The Kill Bill version just... But anyway. So, Scripture. Right, so we're in our Not a Fan series, and we're looking at, first we looked at things that help us not be good followers of Jesus, but rather just fans, you know, just the people who are in the stands, right? You can be a fan, you can be someone who knows all the teams, all the players, all the plays, everything, you could go to every single game, you could do all that sort of stuff, but you're just a fan, you're not on the field actually playing the game, you're not on the field taking the hits, you're not on the field taking the blows, right? And if your team starts losing, you get out of there, right? That's what a fan is, someone who's just kind of likes the thing, but as soon as it becomes hard or difficult or boring, they just leave. A follower, though, is someone who gives their blood and sweat on the field and then enjoys the victory the most when the victory does come. And so at first we looked at things that cause us to be fans instead of followers of Jesus, and now we're looking at things that help us be followers instead of fans. And last week we talked about how we need to be a community of repentance, how we need to be open about our sins so that we can find healing in the body of Christ. And today we're going to look at Scripture. So who here knows the word hermeneutics? Anyone know that word? Besides people who went to school, Bible school? You could look in your notes. Hermeneutics, the science and methodology of interpreting texts especially the books of the Bible. So, did you ever in English class, you know, they gave you a poem and then you had to kind of interpret the poem? Did you have to do that? Do you do that here in English, right? And sometimes did you kind of feel that you could just make it say whatever you wanted it to say? I remember one time in grade 9, I went up to my English teacher and I don't actually even really remember what I said, but I'm like, what's to stop me from, because we had a test, and the test was, what does this poem mean? And I said this poem meant, I was a really bad student, and I was like, this poem is about two women in their lesbian relationship and blah, blah, blah. And it was like about a sheep in a meadow or something. And I was, anyway, so I got a zero. And and then I went up to the teacher, and I was like, wait a minute. Really? I mean, how do you know? How do you know this isn't figurative? You know, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know how I defended it, but I did. I thought it was pretty clever. And she just told me to sit down and be quiet. And this is what happens, actually, is often with texts, we feel like we can just make them say whatever we want sometimes. And what you often need to do when you approach a text is you need to have a proper hermeneutical key. You need to have a proper key, a proper way of understanding how you interpret that passage. So when you interpret poetry, there are certain keys, certain things you know of that you use to interpret a poem. When you're interpreting your science textbook, you have certain clues, certain ways of reading a science textbook to know how to properly understand what the science textbook is saying. And in the same way with the Bible, you need certain clues, certain tools. And so what is our hermeneutical key with the Bible as Christians? It's Jesus. Jesus is our hermeneutical key. If you turn to Luke 24, I even brought the Bible up here so I could look it up instead of just having it there in front of me. Luke 24, verse 27. Jesus, he's on the road to Emmaus here, and he's talking to those two people on the road to Emmaus, and they're just freaking out because Jesus has just been crucified. They're freaking out because they thought he was the Messiah. They're freaking out because he dies on this cross. He's dead. The movement is dead. Everyone's scared. Everyone's running away. It's just an absolute devastating moment of time for everyone. And so Jesus, kind of all in disguised form, is talking to these guys. And he says, necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. And then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to the two people on the road the things concerning himself, Jesus, in all the scriptures. So what you have here is Jesus is saying, the whole key to the whole Old Testament is me. Is me. Is Jesus. Is me. And then you read just a bit later in verses 44 to 47 of Luke 24. Now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses, the Old Testament, and the prophets, the Old Testament, the Psalms, must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And in the beginning of John, you have John. Jesus is the Word. He is the Word. He is the Word of God in flesh. Jesus is the key. So when we come to approach the Bible, when we come to look at the Bible, we need to interpret it through the lens of Jesus. Everything you come to in the Bible, you have to say, how does Jesus help me understand this passage? How does Jesus help me get a better feeling on this passage? Read scriptures to know Jesus. He will speak to us through his Spirit. See, what often happens is we come to the Bible and we're just like, okay, I'm coming to read the Bible. And I'm just going to see what it can tell me about me today. And blah, blah, blah. Great Bible time, right? And we kind of just... But instead, as Christians, we should come and approach the Bible with, what can I learn about Jesus? What can I learn about who Jesus is, what Jesus did, why Jesus is important? That's why we approach the scriptures. Everything from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation, I always forget the last, what is it, chapter 24? Bad pastor, Mark. Horrible pastor. 22:21. So now even the pastor's wife knew. So, right? Is all about Jesus. And we need to approach it that way. It's a good video to show.
You're pretty good. So what's wrong, man?
Nothing's wrong.
You barely even touched your food. What's wrong?
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
It happened again.
What?
It.
I thought you gave that up, man.
You thought... So did I, okay? Look, I want to quit, and believe me, I've tried hard. But it's like no matter how hard I try, I go back to it. It's like a vicious cycle. You know what?
Yeah.
No.
No, yeah.
No, you don't.
Okay. I don't know what that is. I'm not dealing with that specifically, but we all got our own problems, man. We all struggle through stuff. Okay. What are you going to accomplish if you just sit here and beat yourself up about it? What? Nothing. At least we can count on, we know God loves us and we know God forgives us. We know that.
Okay, how do I know that, first of all?
I mean, how?
Look, God hates sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sinner, right? How do I know he doesn't hate me?
It's in the Bible.
Where is it at in the Bible? Look, I can't find it, and don't you think I haven't looked because I have. I don't know
what's
at.
Look. Okay, I don't know. I don't know where. You know what's in the Bible, man.
Dude, how do I know?
So another important thing about Scripture is that it actually helps us know what the Christian faith is about. You know, like in this case, this guy is saying, well, God loves you, man. God loves you. Well, how do I know God loves me? I mean, have you all heard that? Who has not heard that? Has everyone heard, at least cursory, that God loves them? Has most people heard that? Right. Now, I'm not going to do it, but if I were to ask you, can you give me a scripture reference that says God loves you? You know, how could you give that? Could you give more than one? John 3:16, yeah, that's the classic one, right? There's a lot of verses, but, you know, see, often we don't know what we believe because we don't read what we believe. And when you come into situations like that, things become very, very interesting, because here's a place where a guy really could use some comfort from the scriptures, from just knowing some good truths about how God loves him, and the guy can't do anything because he doesn't know the word, he doesn't know the scripture. So that brings us to 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17, and I'm going to read it from our notes here. Remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to every good work. Anyone know who Timothy was? Timothy in the Bible? He was a young leader in the church, a young leader discipled by Paul, right? So he's this young leader in the church, and Paul is passing on wisdom to Timothy. So to a young guy, so a guy probably about actually my age, just a young guy, and Paul's trying to impart this wisdom upon Timothy. And so he says, remain faithful to the things you've been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. And so another thing that Paul's is trying to emphasize to Timothy is that when you come to Scripture, when you come to the Bible, you need to come to it in community. You need to come to it within a community of people. That's why Bible studies are important. Because you know what's dangerous? You know what's really dangerous? Is people who just read the Bible. I mean, it's good to read the Bible on your own, but who only do that. Can you imagine what happens when you, if you just were to read it completely by yourself without everyone around you? Or let's say you only had one source of information about what the Bible is saying. Let's say the only time you read the Bible was when I was preaching it. You know how dangerous that is? Because I am a sinner. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I don't have perfect understanding of the Scriptures. And so if your only source of the Scriptures is me, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. Because odds are I could possibly lead you astray. You know what's also dangerous for me? Is if you guys aren't reading your Bible, when I make a mistake, none of you will know when I make the mistake. And then we're all just going to go in our mistakes. And then we're going to go off a cliff and just... and we're all dead. Right? So it's good for us as a community to read the Bible together. Not only for your benefit, but for my benefit. Because I just will not become aware of my mistakes unless you guys point them out. That's good. I'm encouraging you. I'm giving you the permission. This is exciting. Try to find things. Oh, what did Pastor Mark say? Does it jive with Scripture? Oh, I'm going to prove him wrong, right? It'd be exciting. Come to me and we can debate the Bible. It'd be great, right? So this is what Paul's saying. You can trust what people have taught you, what you have learned in the community. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. Again, the point of the Bible is that Jesus is the key. If you just read the Bible for the sake of just reading the Bible, you'll miss the point. It's like a painting and a window. Okay? When you come to a painting, what do? You come to a painting to just look at the painting, right? But when you come to a window, you look at a window, not to look at the window, but to look through the window, to look at something else. Right? When we open these doors, we get a beautiful view of the sky tower. So when you're looking through the doors, you're not looking, oh, look at those beautiful doors. No, right? You're looking to see the sky tower. In the same way, when we come to Scripture, we don't look at Scripture as just a picture, as like, ooh, look at how pretty this is. Look at those Bibles sitting by the cross, aren't they? They're big. Oh, well. No, you look at the Scripture like a window to help you see Jesus. And so this is all Paul's saying here. And then there's the very famous passage, all Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is God-breathed. It comes from the Greek word theanoustos. Has anyone ever heard that word? Theanoustos? Great name for a kid. Anyone pregnant? Hey, little theanoustos. Right, what does it mean? It's actually a word that Paul makes up. He creates it. It's never in existence in the Greek language up to this point. Paul just creates the word. And what he does is he takes the word theos, God, and pneuo, breath, breathe out, and he just combines them properly, God breathed, referring specifically to divine inspiration, the in-breathing of something, of Scripture, that Scripture has the breath of God, has the inspiration of God has been poured into the Scriptures. When we talk about Scripture, we talk about Scripture as something we should honor, we should value, because God's Spirit has been at work. His breath has been at work. He is breathing this Scripture out for us. So it's not literally the words per se of God, but it's inspired. The inspiration of it has come from God. And what's also interesting about Scripture is, what does Paul call Scripture? Passage. What does he call Scripture? He calls Scripture. Trick question. He calls Scripture, Scripture. What does Scripture mean? Scripture is a sacred writing. It comes from the Greek word gramma. How's your gramma? Right? It comes from the Greek word gramma, and it's holy Scripture. Holy is something that's set apart for a special purpose. And what's interesting is that whenever those writing in Scripture refer to Scripture, they call it Scripture, a sacred writing. What they don't call the writing, what they don't call the Bible, interesting enough, is the Word of God. The Bible is actually never referred to as the Word of God. It's referred to as Scripture. The Word of God is a phrase that is most often referred to God's message to us, usually in the New Testament, the gospel, or whatever God's specific message is to us, or Jesus himself is often called the Word of God, is the totality of God's message, the Word of God made flesh. But Scripture isn't called the Word of God. And it's a small thing. It may sound nitpicking, but I think it has some ramifications over time. What do I mean? Well, the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were just this religious group at the time, the Pharisees read a lot of Scripture, but they missed the Word of God. They missed it completely, even though they were saturated in Scripture. So the Bible does not call itself, in that sense, the Word of God. It calls itself Scripture or sacred writings. But the Word of God is Jesus and his message coming to you through Scripture. The Word of God is Jesus and his message coming to you through Scripture. Sometimes you'll saturate yourself in Scripture, but if you do it without Jesus as your focus, you will miss the Word of God. And see, the reason this is important is that if we just call the Bible the Word of God, we start getting into the fallacy where we think if we just read anything in this book, that we are receiving the Word of God. But this book isn't a magic talisman that you can just wave and touch and it will do magical things in your life. But that's often how we treat it. I mean, how many of you have done this? And seeing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. Oh, how does that apply to me today? That's boring. Right? Right? I remember, this seriously happened to me. Before I met Charlotte, before we got into a relationship, I was dating this other girl at my Bible school. And we were dating, and we were driving. This is kind of embarrassing because we were in university, but my dad was giving us a ride for us to go on a date to a movie. not because he like was chaperoning, but just because I didn't have a car. And anyway, so embarrassing already. But so we're in the car, and my dad always had a Bible in the car. And what happened was is we're driving, and he brakes really fast, and the Bible plops and lands on my girlfriend at the time's, like, right in front of her. And it lands in the Song of Songs. And this isn't going where you think it is. And the Song of Songs is like the erotic story of the Bible. It's kind of like, think of it as the Twilight story in the Bible, and it's really sexual. And anyway, it doesn't matter. But what it landed on was, in the way my dad's Bible's formatted, the first line was, you know, there's Solomon saying the love song to his girl, and the girl saying the love thing to the guy, but then there's also a third group of people in the book, the friends, the just friends. And she said, at that time, she was thinking about our relationship, and then this happened. It landed right in front of her and said, just friends. And she's like, oh, that means I should break up with him. And she did. And that was the reason she gave. Seriously, I mean, there was probably some other reason, but that was the reason. That was the main reason. Because oh, that was God speaking to me through this magical talisman, which is the Bible. No, I mean, that's not what it is. It's not this magical thing that you just, you know. Rather, it's a gateway to a relationship with a person, right? So this is really important. The Word of God is Jesus and his message coming to you through Scripture. It's not, by itself, it's just paper with words on it. But when you understand the words, it helps you see the Word of God, which is Jesus. It helps us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do right. And God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. The Bible will thoroughly equip you to do every good work. As Christians, as a church, the Bible is a tool, is something that will help us do every good work. But it won't do the work for us. In your notes, we have a look at the bottom. There's a thing of seven things here. How can I approach Scripture? How can I read the Bible? Because, I mean, a lot of people are just like, I don't even know where to begin. I mean, look at how long it is. I mean, that's longer than Lord of the Rings, right? Right? And if you got an older translation, the English is all weird. And especially, you know, a lot of people start reading right at the beginning, which makes sense because most books begin at the beginning. And then you read Genesis, and that's kind of cool, and there's some stories. And then you read Exodus, and then it just starts, and it gets into the law, and it gets into, like, don't sacrifice animals on a certain day and do this and that. And then you start getting really bogged down, and most people get bogged down somewhere at the beginning. And I'm just want to give you 7 tools to maybe help you when you approach Scripture. First, read it. Read a passage, probably a chapter or less a day. It's like working out. Anyone here work out? Who here looks really buff? Where's Anthony? Oh, wait, Edmund, you're pretty buff, aren't you? You look pretty, right? Yeah. Yeah, right? You know, when you're working out, do you just go and bench 500 pounds or 100 kgs, right? Do you do that right off the bat? If you can't even do one push-up, do you go to 100 kgs? Has anyone tried that? I have. Right? You got to start small. You know, if you've never read the Bible before, if it's never been a habit for you, you need to start small. Start with a passage. Start with a verse. And I would recommend starting one of the Gospels. Why? What's the main theme of the Gospels? Yes, yes! Preach it, sister. Yes, Jesus. Jesus is the point of the Gospels. So if you want to understand the point of the whole Bible, begin in the Gospels. And begin with just a passage. Read the passage, probably a chapter or less. Clarify it. Use minimal studies to increase understanding. You know, maybe get a study Bible. Right here, this is a study Bible. So it's a Bible that has verses and then has little notes at the bottom. Those help. There's a lot of online tools. Bible Gateway has a lot of stuff. You can even go Wikipedia and read a passage. It'll give you maybe a little bit more information than you want. Maybe it won't be true. You know, it's funny. Actually, that Higgs-Boson thing that just came out? So I went to the Wikipedia page to read about it, and you can see this on my Facebook. I took a snapshot. I print screen. There we go. And what was funny, I was reading it, and it was like the Higgs boson, blah, 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 blah. And it was discovered by this Swiss guy who went and found a prostitute in a bar, and it went and brought her back to the lab, and then it, like, cuts off. And it was showing someone was trying to alter the text while everyone was reading it because it was so famous. And it's really funny. So that happens, right? But you can use Wikipedia. eSword. If you're looking for some free Bible software, that's really good. E, as in the letter E, as in elephant. Sword, as in, right? eSword. So it's like an electronic sword, just like Scripture. Sword, yes. Anyway, eSword. So, get a study Bible, go to the Christian bookstore. NIV study Bible is really good, ESV study Bible, NLT study Bible, Good News study Bible, I use that, NASB study, there's lots of study Bibles that will give you helpful notes. Or just call the pastor. You know, I'm often looking for things to do sometimes, you know, just give me a call, just be like, this, you know, you went on YouTube, found some atheist video or something, and it says Bible's bunk, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to call the pastor. I just want to dig it to him. Just call me. I would love it. I love it when people call me. Some people do, and I love it when they do. I'd like more. So clarify. 3, imagine it. Put yourself in the writer hearer's character shoes. When you're reading Scripture, put yourself in the story. Put yourself in the story. You know, stories become so much more impactful when you're in the story. Remember, you know, I talked about this before, the woman caught in adultery. You know, we read that story, all the women, oh, and Jesus is so wholesome and so good. He accepts her and tells her to sin no more and saves her from stoning. But imagine if you're that woman. Imagine if you're in the act of sex with a man, and then people come in, they rip you from the man while you're having sex with the man. And you're naked, and they pull you, and they throw you into the ground, and they yell at you to this guy you've never seen. What should be done to this woman? Right? And you're thinking to yourself, my day ends with me getting stoned and the guy getting off scot-free. Me, I'm dead in just a few seconds, naked, here, by stoning. And all of a sudden, the story takes on this whole new dimension when you're the person in the story. Because then you understand when Jesus gives that woman mercy, all of a sudden that mercy just comes alive. So try to put yourself in every story. In every story, when you're seeing Jesus interact with people, put yourself in the story. Read a phrase. Pray. Repeat. When you're reading Scripture, pray. Just pray about it. Think about it. Let the thoughts resonate in your mind. Meditate on it. Zero in on a word or phrase that stands out to you. When you're reading, find a word, just a word, and just that word, and just zone into that word, and then ask yourself a question. Why am I interested in that word? What is it about that word that just draws me in? Meditate on it. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall have eternal life. Life. What kind of life? What is Jesus? What is the life? What's eternal life? Just focus, meditate, ask these questions about it, discuss it, talk to at least one other person. You know, if you read a passage and it puzzles you, or you find it interesting, or something is just brilliant about it, or something you just don't understand, talk to someone about it. Call up Marty. He loves calls too, right? Right? Marty, I was reading this passage. And right? Yeah. Right? Discuss it with someone. You know? Say what you think about it, why it's impacted you. And then live it. Live the passage. Turn it into application. I have another video here. We'll watch that video, and then I'll talk more a little bit more about the application.
Okay, we've got Encarta, World Book, and the online source, but we need two more.
Let's use the Bible as one source. Yeah. Well, what do you laugh at? Let's use the Bible.
Use the Bible, man. Let's find something else.
No, why can't we use the Bible? It's a reliable source.
I don't
want
to talk
about
it.
The Bible. I do want to talk about it. What?
We can't use the Bible because it contradicts itself, okay?
When does the Bible contradict itself? It's the Bible. It's true,
okay.
Everything in the Bible.
Right. One big contradiction is God himself. I mean, you've got the God of the New Testament who's all about grace and saving people from their sins, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then in the Old Testament, you've got this God who sends a flood to wipe out all the sinners, right?
Yeah.
Okay, how does that match up?
Well, I mean...
Okay, no. And I know for a fact that God sent his people to foreign nations and cities to kill all the men, women, and children. I mean, it's in the, where's that at?
I mean, it's in the Old Testament. I don't know exactly where
it
is.
Yeah, where at?
I don't know. It's like in one of the Samuels or something. It's in the Old Testament.
Aren't you the guy that's supposed to know this stuff?
Well, yeah, I do know it. I don't know like the exact number or anything. It's hard to remember. I know it's in the Old Testament.
Okay, well, how do you expect to use a Bible if you don't know anything about it?
I do know about it. I just don't know exactly where everything is.
Yeah, I don't think we can use it.
Right. So, does anyone from the tertiary know where those passages are? Five Bible studies on that topic. Come on. Huh? Judges. Yes, Judges and Joshua. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, if you're wrestling with that, I mean, those are big questions. I'm not going to talk about them in this sermon, but I suggest. But we've been talking about them in tertiary. Anyway, we need to apply Scripture. If we don't know Scripture, and if we don't apply it, we don't put it in our lives, things go wrong. Because reading without application is like eating without exercise, right? Reading without application is like eating without exercise. The very calories that give you fuel to live life just end up making you fat and unhealthy. Can you imagine if you were just like, right? And that's all you did. What would happen to you? Would you have this awesome body? or would you maybe look some way else? If you were completely sedentary, but you keep eating the same amount of calories every day, you'll get fat. You'll get big. You'll get unhealthy. I mean, and that can happen to us spiritually. And what's the antidote to that? The antidote is application. I mean, just reading your Bible, just coming to church and hearing me speak about the Bible isn't going to do anything for you if all you're doing is eating it and not applying it, not getting the exercise. And the beautiful thing is the more you apply the Bible, the more it becomes relevant to your life, because there's nothing more boring than reading something that is not about your life that seems irrelevant, because then it's just something that's purely academic. But if it's about something you are applying, if you read this book and to say, I'm going to meet Jesus, I'm going to get a clearer vision of Jesus so that I can be his apprentice, so that I can follow Jesus better, so I can apply this to my life, so that I can change how I live today, tomorrow, every day this week, that's why I'm reading this, then it becomes immediately practical and relevant to your life. For example, running magazines. Anyone here read running magazines? If I were to open up a running magazine and read it, it'd be kind of boring, right? It's like, oh, okay, shin splints and eating right. Yeah, what I'm doing, right? But let's say I'm a runner. Let's say I run every day. All of a sudden, it's a lot more interesting. Now I'm reading it to read about how, that's a good tip. Wow, that's very fascinating. Oh, wow, if I stretch this way, that gives me a little bit more endurance. Oh, wow, if I eat this food, oh, this drink, wow. Oh, that's amazing. But if I'm just, you put a running magazine in front of me. Actually, you know what the running magazine's going to do? It's going to make me feel guilty. I'm so fat. I wish I could run like this, but I can't. Right? And we get... Right? The running magazine would actually not only seem boring, it would actually make us angry, make us bitter, make us not even want to read it because we're not applying it. So if God told me I had to read running magazines in order to honor him, I guess I would. And I would join a running magazine club, just like Alaric here. And there would be a lecture once a week on Sunday morning about running. People would ask, how's your spiritual life? Do you enjoy reading the running magazine of God? And I would say it's kind of flat. It leaves me flat. I don't really connect with it, you know? And I don't understand it at all, but I'm doing it. I'm not digging it, but I'm doing it because God says I'm supposed to. But if I became a runner, all of a sudden my relationship with the running magazine changes. Oh, wow, that's what this is about. Oh, I need that tip. Oh, wow, oh, Jesus said that. Whoa. Right? Everything changes. When the Bible becomes the book that allows you to see Jesus so you can follow Jesus in your life and be changed, you have a whole different relationship with the Bible. If you're not pushing it towards application, you're right. It is boring. So if you're approaching Scripture and you're asking yourself, I don't get a lot out of it, a question you gotta ask yourself is, am I even applying my Christian life? Can this Bible even speak into my life because I'm actually living the way the Bible wants me to live? It's thing you should ask yourself. This is the worst. Has this ever happened to you where someone goes, oh, you're a Christian? Wow, I never knew. You know, and you've been friends with them for like 10 years, right? Wow, that's amazing. I'm a Christian too. What? I never knew, right? You know, and that's actually a really depressing statement, actually, to a certain degree, right? Are you applying the Bible? Is the Bible a running magazine that you can get a lot out of, or is it just make you feel guilty because you sit on your couch all day, every day, right? Apply it. That is the key. And there's lots of opportunities to apply the Bible. The church provides opportunities. Right now, Gene is looking for volunteers to help with a family with their home right now. So if you're interested in doing some practical social justice, there's some of that. We have volunteer at a food kitchen. We give to the food bank. We do Bible studies. There's home groups all over the place. There's all sorts of things you can do to help apply the Scripture to your life. And so I just encourage you that if one way to use Scripture to become a better follower is to actually apply the message contained within it. God, I just thank you for today. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you that scripture is meant to be used to help us know you more, to help us understand Jesus, and that through Jesus we would understand it. And Lord, I just pray that we would be a church that applies your Bible, that actually uses it in our daily lives, that we actually take the message that we learn about Jesus and we use that to apply it to our lives and how we interact with people and how we deal with people and how we deal with our enemies and how we deal with our friends and how we deal with people at church, how we deal with our own families, Lord, that we would seek to understand what we can learn about you, Jesus, so that we can apply that to our lives. And so I thank you for today. I thank you for your gospel, and I thank you for the cross. Things in your heavenly name. Amen.